Last Sunday, we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And though it was not a typical Easter Sunday service, because we were all stuck at home, and it also wasn't a typical Easter in the fact that we had a snowstorm with many inches of snow, hopefully your worship of Jesus remains strong in spite of all that has happened. That is happening. These days are challenging because our routines and our traditions and our expectations have all been messed with and changed. Let's be honest, most of us really don't care for change. I know I don't. Especially if we like how things are going. Yet when I think about this virus that has turned our nation upside down, is there something that God can use for good out of this? I believe yes, he can. Something like forcing us to step out of our comfort zones. Maybe it is forcing us to share the gospel in a way that will reach a different group of people or more people. Maybe it is forcing ministers and churches all over the nation or even the world to rethink ministry and worship. What if God uses this time to move us out of ruts? I mean, most of you watching are probably from Wisconsin. I know that a few of you are not. But we know mud, we know snow, we know ice here in Wisconsin. When there is a deep rut in the mud, or when slush freezes on the road and there's tire ruts that have been frozen in that slush, and we end up getting a tire or two stuck in those rut, what happens? You usually follow that rut because getting out of it may be more difficult than just going with it. What if churches all over the nation have gotten into a rut of just looking inward and not seeing the needs or the lost souls around them? What if churches all over the nation have gotten into a rut of sharing the Bible, but not really diving in and growing in their knowledge of God or growing deeper in their faith? What if the body of Christ, meaning all the believers, got into a rut of not being concerned about others? They go through a routine of attending church on Sunday, but really only as a spectator, not really as a participant. Ruts can happen, and they can sometimes be difficult to get out of. But if God is doing the pushing or the nudging, then it's time to get out of the rut and really begin to follow his lead. What is it that God is urging in you to change? What rut has God been trying to get you out of? When I think about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we saw pain and anguish from Jesus. We saw betrayal of him from Judas. We saw the scattering and the fear among Jesus' followers. The crucifixion was a very tragic time. But out of that tragedy, the disciples were thrust out on their own and moved from being followers to eventually being leaders. For instance, Peter was very close to Jesus. Peter was loyal and strong in his beliefs. After the Last Supper, Peter affirms his loyalty to Jesus. And I'll be starting with my first set of scripture here, found in Luke chapter 22, starting with verse 33, if you want to open your Bibles to Luke 22, 33. But he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." You see, Peter was comfortable serving Jesus. He was comfortable in having Jesus as the teacher. And he was comfortable in having Jesus tell him what to do and go here, go there. Yet Jesus wanted more. He wanted Peter to be the rock among the apostles. Peter would be the one to strengthen and encourage his brothers in Christ. Now this would happen, but not until Peter failed during this difficult change at the time of the crucifixion. Though Peter would struggle getting out of his rut and failing at first with a denial of Jesus, Peter indeed becomes the one to strengthen others. Reading on in Luke 22, starting with verse 56, I want to read to you what happened in that denial. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." In verse 63, we're told that, "And he went outside and wept bitterly." I think many of us wonder, what would we do if we were in that same position? What would you do? Yet many of us are put in that position just with different circumstances. You know, some may say, "I cannot talk about Jesus at work because my employment restricts it or forbids it. I cannot talk about Jesus because it starts a fight in my family who are atheists. I cannot talk about Jesus because of this reason or that reason." Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying to go out and get yourself fired or get into fights with your family, but sometimes the excuse to not share Jesus has become the rut or the norm. Sometimes we follow what has been done and go the easy way rather than step into a tougher territory. For Peter, would he have been arrested if he would have said yes? Would he have been beaten? Would he have been mocked? Would he have been killed if he had admitted to being a follower of Jesus? Maybe some of those things were going through Peter's mind as he's being asked. But I don't know the answer to those questions, but I know that Peter was afraid. But all it took was the rooster crowing and Jesus turning and looking right at Peter. That's all it took. Peter remembered what Jesus had said. Peter remembered what he had told Jesus, that would never happen. He would never deny him. And Peter goes out and weeps. We're told that he wept bitterly. You see, in Peter's heart, he wanted to make the right choice. But in that moment, he failed. What will he do now? Will Peter be the strong disciple that Jesus wanted him to be? As you think about your life and some of the wrong choices that you have made, hey, we've all made wrong choices. Has your mistakes pushed you to be better and stronger? Or have they created a rut that you are now content to stay in? Peter could have allowed his failure to define him, as a failure, and he leave and live a hopeless, defeated life. Or he could rise to the challenge, repent, and be what Jesus called him to be. You see, your story isn't written, and I know that God can use us for many great and mighty things that he wants to do, if only we would rise up and be and do what he has called from us. Let us no longer be content with the same old ruts. Because of Jesus, you have been given life and hope. We saw that last week as we were celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You are different, and you have a purpose in life as a follower of Christ. What happens to Peter? Well, he regroups with the other apostles, and he hears the news that Jesus rose from the dead. He and John ran to the tomb after hearing the news that he was gone. They ran. They find the tomb empty. They find the linen cloth still there in the tomb. Is Peter hopeful? Yes, he is. He might have been outrun by John, but Peter was the first to enter the tomb. Peter loved Jesus. Over the course of time, Jesus appears to the apostles several more times. In Luke 24, Jesus tells them to stop doubting his resurrection. He has to show them his hands and his feet. But it was an exciting time to know that Jesus rose from the dead. Maybe the apostles initially thought things would go back to the way they were, where Jesus would tell them what to do and where to go. But everything would change. Jesus would ascend into heaven, and God the Father would send his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as a helper. But before Jesus ascends into heaven, he speaks a little more to Peter, and I wanted to read that to you this morning. It's found in the book of John 21, starting with verse 14. This is right before Jesus ascends into heaven that he speaks to Peter. John 21:14. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." In verse 17, the third time he had said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Three times Peter denied Christ, and Peter felt anguish for it. Three times Jesus asked Peter if he loves him. Though Peter felt hurt, I believe the third answer was deeply from the heart. Peter went through many difficulties in order to get to the point of where Jesus wanted him, to be a leader and a caretaker of the church. Peter's life is forever changed, And though life will be different after Jesus leaves, Peter knows what he believes and what his purpose is. Do all of you joining me here today love Jesus? I mean, do you really love him? Do you love him enough to allow him to mold you and to change you from the heart? I have felt throughout this pandemic that we will need to emerge changed. Changed for the glory of God. Well, what is that change? I don't know. But I know that for the church body to change, it must start with individual parts. I don't have the answers, but I think there is a change in a very personal way for each of us. I am confident that the Lord will help us understand the longer we go, and he will help us through his Holy Spirit. But on the winds of change, what is the Lord asking of you? Maybe you have not committed your life to Christ. Or maybe you have been walking the line, not being fully committed to him. Then I will say, it's time. What are you waiting for? Jesus rose from the dead. Yes, you have made some poor choices in your life. We all have. Now it's the time to repent and to commit to serving him and receiving the blessings that he has in store for you. Will you give your life as he gave his for you? Maybe the change is in gathering together as believers. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." I don't know everyone that might be watching this, but if you have committed your life to Christ, but you've not been meeting regularly with other believers in worship and in encouragement, that might be the rut you need to get out of. Life can be hard. There's no reason to do it alone. I'm not going to say that our church is perfect, but when we're able to gather together again, I invite you to join us here. And if we're not close, I encourage you to find a local body of believers, a local church that you can connect with and find encouragement, all the while encouraging others. The church needs you just as much as you need it. Maybe there's some other change. Maybe there's a special role or a special calling the Lord has called you, and you've simply been dragging your feet, hoping the Lord forgets about what he's asked of you. It might be out of your comfort zone. It might be hard. It might be challenging. It would be easier to watch from the sidelines instead of being more active. Don't let a day go by where God can show his awesomeness. Don't let a day go by doubting him. And if he called you to something, he has a plan, and his ways will often bring amazement when you allow him to work through you. I'm saying that from experience, my friends. Yet there's also a very real purpose for each and every one of us to share our faith with others. Yes, for some people, it seems easier and more natural, as if they have a gifting to share their faith. But sharing our faith is something that we are all called to do. Let us not forget that. Let us not fall into a rut of being a spectator Christian. Let us be active and bold for Jesus Christ in all we do. In light of our message today, I want to close this sermon here with three questions. First question is, do you love Jesus? If you answer yes, then make him first in your life, above everything else. Second question I want to ask you, do you love Jesus? If you still answer yes, then show love and compassion to those around you. You might have guessed my third question. But do you truly love Jesus? Do you really love him? Then pursue him and draw near and give him your all, not holding back anything. Give him your all. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the message that you are giving us this morning. I pray for all those that are hearing this. I pray that they would be challenged in some way. That God, I know you are speaking to all of us in different ways, and I pray that you would guide and direct us in the changes that you would like us to make. Help us to put in the effort to get out of ruts. Lord, let us not be content with just the same old, but Lord, let us have a renewed fire for you, to serve you in whatever way you call us to. Lord, I pray that you'd point out to us things that need to change. And Lord, we know that you will strengthen us and guide us in those changes as well. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each and every one of us today. And again, I thank you so much for your love and your mercy. And I thank you for the tremendous blessing it is to be able to serve you. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen.